You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
So, it was about a week ago. When we were last recorded CRS. And you actually asked me, do we need to say anything about the BET Awards? And I was like,
I was like, nah.
And so we get, you know, we get off. I edit the show, sitting there doing what I shouldn't do when I'm lying in bed, which is scrolling through Twitter. And all of a sudden I'm seeing, you know, everyone's talking about this Eminem video. Mm-hmm. So this is not the first time where Eminem has done a freestyle, or there's been a cypher that he's participated in at the BET Awards. What was the one with High Rihanna? What was it, like 2011?
The Slaughterhouse freestyle was...
That was Shady 2.0?
Mm-hmm.
2011.
Yep.
Wow, that's 6 years old.
Yeah. Man, I loved that cypher. That was peak hippity-hop rappity rap for me.
M is great on that cypher.
He is. He kills that.
I mean, it's all the... Right. That is like Eminem in a nutshell. Like that whole verse, right? If you don't like Eminem, then you're going to look at that. You're going to hear that verse and go, and? Right? But yeah. So that, you know, this is not the first time he's done this sort of thing. And I can't remember if there was another one. I feel like 2009, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, there was another Shady Cypher from 2014. It was all a cappella.
Of course it was.
And they were all like in different locations.
And so this year we get, I don't even know what I would want to call this.
Shady 3.0.
Except it's just Eminem in a garage.
There's a freestyle before that with Westside Gunn, Conway, and some other guy.
Oh yeah, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they were in the background, but they rap first. And Westside didn't even rap.
Some of the many African American men in the background of Eminem.
Yes, who have now turned into goons. Benny, oh yeah, Benny's on there too. So yeah, basically Griselda and some other guy, they go first. They rap over the drum loop that many hip hop heads know as the Locks You'll See.
Oh,
that was the official like BET breakbeat for the year. And then Eminem says, cut the beat. And he raps.
Because that's his thing now.
That's his thing now.
Every Eminem, I feel like almost every Eminem thing now, it's got to be like, it's a showstopper. Right, you know, it's like can't let a beat get in the way of this. Like the song he had on Big Sean's album, like the whole song had to practically come to a stop.
I forgot all about that song
for good reason.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Wasn't very good. And so here we are.
Well, yep.
I want to talk about initial reaction, that we could talk about how the way the internet reacted. The first time you saw this, what thoughts did you have?
My initial thoughts are the thoughts that like came later.
We'll do initial and then we can go to later.
Initial, when I went on Twitter, saw people, I mean, opinions were very split from jump. So a lot of people loved the verse. A lot of people hated it. I went and I watched it and it wasn't trash. I think some parts were probably corny, and corny is what made it whack to a lot of people. So let me break this down.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm fascinated where you're going here.
Just because I watch a lot of battle rap. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I used to. Not as much as I used to, but I'm fairly well versed in the battle rap scene. Shout out to my man Sean. And he and I just nerd out about battle rap all day. And one thing about battle rap, number one, it's painfully obvious that Eminem sits at home in his mansion and watches URL all day. Painfully obvious. Down delivery, all of that just reeks of Smack Battles, Loaded Lux, Calico, T-Rex. So one thing that plays into those battles is the crowd. The crowd always makes a difference in those battles. So you could say a dope line, and if the crowd doesn't react, like people will be like, oh, that's trash. Or if you say a whack line and people cheer, it's gas. And I think what happened with Eminem was, he wrote that verse as if he was performing it for a crowd, because the pauses in between were like call and response. That was a moment to fill in with something. But you know what filled up that space?
Silence.
Awkward silence.
Very, very awkward silence.
And the awkward silence made the verse seem worse than what it was. Because to your point, If you would have threw a beat on, I don't think that that verse would have gotten nearly as much backlash and hate as it did from an MC standpoint, because we'll get into content shortly. But just from an MC standpoint, if there was a beat, I think M would have been fine. He would have wrote the beat like he can. It wouldn't nearly have been backlash would have been for other things, but I don't think he would have gotten the backlash from the hip hop community that he's currently getting right now. So I think he kind of shot himself in the foot with those long pauses.
Mm.
That was my initial takeaway. Like, yo, this is just the second round of a battle with no crowd. Now, what about you? What were your initial thoughts?
I really thought I was watching a Saturday Night Live sketch initially. Like, really? It doesn't have, like, I know, like, hey, look, the guy looks how he looks. Like, he's, remember that Mariah Carey video where she dresses up as Eminem?
Oh, but okay.
He's actually starting to resemble the way that she, like, mimicked. Like, so, you know, whatever. It just came off as, like, corny, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, the pauses, you're right, made it feel really awkward, like he was trying to make it seem bigger than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest fan of just like, let me rap without a beat, without really a structure. It's like, I know people are putting beats under this, obviously, because that's, you know, they're going to do that. But like, I don't even think he's necessarily rapping to a particular tempo. He's just rapping.
It's spoken word.
Right. Have you ever known me to listen to spoken word?
I don't understand people who listen to spoken word. Like, I know poets who make spoken word albums, and it's like they'll have like a little beat under it, and like they're doing spoken word on top of the beat, and it's like, rhyme to the drums. What are you doing?
Trying to be Jay Ivy.
Yeah, it's in, who needs the yeah exactly
who needs the weed, man.
Exactly, and it's weird, but I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I do spoken word, like I get
right.
It.
But the it just came across so corny. So it's so obvious. Like you say, he's holed up in his mansion watching rap battles. It's also so obvious he's holed up in his mansion watching cable TV.
So now he's an old black grandmother now.
Do old black grandmothers watch URL?
No, but they definitely watch Fox News and like cuss out. Like they watch the worst. So my grandmother used to watch the worst news station just so she could fuss at the TV.
That's funny. The stuff he's rapping, like we could talk about. Let's talk about content. What he's rapping about is like it's like a Facebook or Twitter feed rapped out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I get absolutely no like thrill out of the fact that here's this really famous white rapper who is saying the exact things that I, and really sort of in some cases, worsely written or more cornily written, if that's a way to even phrase something, like a cornier version of my Twitter feed over the past like 6 weeks. Why would I want to hear that rapped? I'm not quite sure. Like for me, this doesn't hit anything. Whereas I know there are folks who are like, wow, like here's a, not even just a white musician, but a white musician who has, you know, whose fan base historically are folks who possibly would have, you know, supported Trump. And so for them, they're looking at it like, wow, he's saying this stuff. I'm like, yeah, but it's so bad. I was embarrassed listening to this.
Oh, wow.
The fist up with Kaepernick. It's like, dude. What are you doing? This was awful. Awful. I couldn't believe that there were people who liked this when this happened. I can't believe. I mean, it was a moment, right? As you have been so right to point out over the years, right? Like people love moments. Mm-hmm. And so this was a moment.
Yeah.
It was almost irrelevant of was it done well? I was, oh man, this was hard to watch.
Yeah. So I think some of the perspectives that came out a little later were very interesting. One in particular being, why did Eminem do this at the BET Hip Hop Awards when they just had the MTV Music Awards a few weeks ago, where Viacom owns both BET and MTV? And so why is a white rapper coming to a, 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 an African-American format and doing this when he could have did this on MTV. And maybe the idea is that it would have gotten into more homes or more spaces, or maybe it's just the thought that the white savior comes into this black space and, you know, rallies everybody up from the black space, where you almost need, traditionally, the idea is that white artists have needed that black cosign, and then they'll take it and then they'll go back into mainstream America, what have you, and reap the benefits off of that black cosign. It was an interesting perspective. I'm still not sure how to feel about it, because it was the hip hop awards. And so hip hop was there. And the theme of the MTV awards, I was at a show actually, and was like reading it was very like fake political, the MTV Music Awards, very fake political. And the standout was your boy Logic. Everybody, but I gotta get it.
Why does it gotta be my boy Logic?
It's your boy, man. J. Cole Jr. It was stuff like that. Like, all right, we're going to talk about suicide prevention, and we're going to tell everybody that they can live their best life now, and you can love yourself. And when you love yourself, then everything will be just fine. Here's a song by Logic. And Logic comes out, and everybody got to get in, and I got to go in, and you got to get in, you got to kill yourself. And I love everybody, black people. You know what I'm saying? So like that I kind of went and I just couldn't.
I know.
I tried to stop.
It was the I love black people at the end. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I'm not sure yet, because I think that perspective at least warrants to be thought through and not just dismissed, but it didn't necessarily bother me for that, but I think it also speaks to the theory that we talked about, God, on one of our best episodes ever, which is Twitter is Cocaine, which was kind of prophetic. I think that might have been the birth of Clockstradamus, because everything has to either be amazing or trash. And that honestly might be one of the things that makes Clock Radio Speakers so polarizing to people, because we're like, eh. We're like, eh, is like in its own space now. There's not bad, good, great. There's just bad and great. Good doesn't exist. But we're like, is that real? It's okay.
Early on, we used to have a running joke in the show, the many levels of eh. You remember that?
Yeah, very true. Yep. Right, we did. Eh, eh, eh. Right.
So here's what I'm trying to be generous here, but is there a dope line anywhere here?
You know what? Let's do this. Let's go to...
I'm looking at it right now.
I hate the way he ends that verse.
We love our military. We love our country.
And then he calls him Donald the B. Like,
I don't care about that.
No, but it's the way he says it. It's like, oh. Donald the B. Trump, when it comes to giving a shit, you're stingy as I am.
Why are you doing this to me?
Except when it comes to having the balls to go against me, you hide them.
Eminem delivered a politically charged freestyle.
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where's the NFL? So we focus on that instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada.
I should play the freestyle and we should just like break it down.
Oh God.
Hold on. I'll do a little bit. I won't do the whole thing. We also have to listen to the new Will Smith record.
No, we forgot about that. Yeah, we can end with that.
Okay, let's end with that. All right. I'm not going to do the whole thing. It's 4.5 minutes.
It's the calm before the storm right here.
He does look like a Saturday Night Live. It's the beard. The beard doesn't look real.
The beard doesn't look real.
It looks like that episode of Beavis and Butthead when they cut hair off of their head and put it on their Wait, face.
How was I going to start this, huh? I forgot. Oh, yeah.
He's also got like the dad NMDs on. Like, they're not quite the $200 Ultra Boost. They're like the general release $110 ones that are on. That's like the new age 2 for $89 Reebok Classics.
That's an awfully hot coffee pot.
Wait.
See, I'm already out.
You know what? Do I want to do this?
Okay. Drop it on Donald Trump. Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid.
You got some insight as to what he's thinking here, Armand?
No, I'm still thrown off by Awfully Hot Coffee Pot. And then the punchline got bleeped out because it was a cuss word. So I don't even know what he said.
Got a plan and now I got a hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk. I'ma walk inside a mosque on Ramadan and say a prayer that every time talks, she gets a mouth. I'ma stop.
So he's freestyling though, right?
No.
So that is the only...
Eminem never freestyled. Spoiler alert. Eminem right. never freestyled. He freestyled the first two lines and then he went into a written verse.
Right. There are people who are like, oh, the reason why he's stopping between is because he's got to, like, you know, like he's a battery that's drained and he's got to recharge.
No, bro. You've got Marv 1 and Royce the 5'9 back there. And then you've got young cats like Benny and Conway who can actually spit. Okay. Keep in mind, we're also 50 seconds into this.
Well, we better give Obama props because what we got in office now's a kamikaze that'll probably cause a nuclear holocaust. And while the drama pops and he waits for shit to quiet down, he'll just gas his plane up and fly around till the bombing stops.
See, that's just terrible. Like, what?
It's not good.
Intensity's heightened. Tensions are rising. Trump, when it comes to giving a shit, you're stingy as I am. Except when it comes to having the balls to go against me, you hide them. Because you don't got the nuts like an empty asylum.
He thought that was a good line, didn't he? The nuts asylum line, like he thought that was good. This is embarrassing.
So.
These are not good lines.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just cut this video off. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that maybe about 2 weeks ago, I posted a video of Loaded Lux freestyle on Hot 97. And my DJ in the comments said, I need, and this is before this came out. He said, I need Eminem and Lux to do something. I need them to battle is essentially what he was saying. That freestyle on Hot 97 is one of the best rap verses I've heard in the last 10 years, if not longer. The verse is phenomenal. Eminem would not know what to do with that.
Mm.
No, you don't have the nuts like an empty asylum? That doesn't work. Nope. Listen to the first line of Lux. Lux starts off the verse with, I just thought I'd swing by like a girl who's curious. That's all. That's a double entendre out the gate. What? Nah. And you start off with, that's an awfully hot coffee pot. I didn't even think we were going to go like slander, but okay. All right.
It's bad. It's so bad.
I'm going to be optimistic and say that I would like to hear this over a beat. It's like when Eminem rapped over. Remember when Eminem got with Tim Westwood and they rapped over Microphone over the Alchemist joint?
Oh, do I? I listened to that like 3 times today.
Crazy.
Crazy.
That's when we thought Relapse was going to be like,
mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah. I went back and listened to Relapse today.
And?
And I also listened to Recovery.
And?
We'll talk about it in a bit.
I think that with this particular freestyle, I think it's hurting Eminem's credibility just in the moment. I think that people are always going to consider Eminem one of the greats, but you know, the last Eminem album wasn't good. Like, what was the last Eminem thing that made you say, whoa? Was it the Tim Westwood? Was
it the Microphone freestyle? Yeah,
like it was probably that era. And
well, the Shady 2.0 wasn't bad.
No, that's what I said. I said that or the Shady 2.0. See, one of those two, like just that era of what he was doing. And so I think that people are either, I think his discography says a lot about him. I think it says a lot about music. And so to go back and revisit some of these records, seeing where hip hop is now, and especially with this NF album and like really, really, really interesting. So I think what it represents, we can talk about shortly, but I'm just ready to get into the list.
I'm reconsidering, like the first one. So I did it in chronological order as I tend to. And I was really struck by how many songs I like. Eminem's albums are even the first three, which are widely regarded as his best three.
How is his first album regarded as his best? But I
don't know. His first three are regarded as his best. That's his best period of music.
Sure.
But like that first album is so hit or miss, right?
Yeah.
But it's super interesting because it really, like, going back and listening to it, really illustrated why the stuff that he's on, when it works, it works, and why his sort of truly his Shady 2.0, his like his second era that he's tried to do with Relapse, Recovery, all the Slaughterhouse stuff, you know, Shady 25, like all that, or Shady 15, whatever it was, you know, what the difference is. And that's like, I think the Bass Brothers are super underrated when we talk about Eminem's career. I think that there's a certain kind of beat that, whether it was on purpose or not, like that old, that like late 90s, early 2000s era of Dre and the Bass Brothers had in common, which is not overly complicated drums, huge heavy bass lines, and lots of room for Eminem to operate, right? Like, he didn't really rap over Swiss Beats records. You know what I mean? He, right. Like, is that like he... I'm just trying to imagine Eminem on Twisted Heat, which would be about the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. But like, with the exception of Busta Rhyme, which was on the that on Missy's second album.
Second album, yeah.
Real like, World. He never really spent much time trying to rap over like Neptunes or Timbo. Like, that wasn't his thing. You know what I mean? But I was just really struck by it.
Side note, Gordon Hayward broke his leg.
Already?
Already, 5 minutes into the season. Apparently it's gruesome. I don't want
to
see it.
Oh, no. All right, hold on. We need to. Now you got me jumping on Twitter.
Yeah, we've already got a hashtag pray for Gordon Hayward.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
I don't like watching bones break. So
I'm not trying to watch it, but yeah, people are, ooh, okay. So anyway.
So Eminem.
Eminem. Yeah, the first song on my list. I was going to go right into the first song on my list.
Go right ahead.
I can't believe it's on my list. It's Just Don't Give a F.
Not on my list.
I think everything, not everything, most of the stuff that you need to know about Eminem's persona is right here.
Yeah.
The pot shots at Milkbone and Vanilla Ice, him sort of like rapping with like sort of almost like this, he does this almost like a little like call and response style, not call and response, but like, you know, he'll bring in like alternate like voices, like all the like elements of stuff that you're going to hear from Eminem in the future pop up here. And what actually kind of struck me is I was like, oh, right. Like, this is actually like a really dope song. I always like this record. But for me, like when I think about a definitive 15, right? So the whole premise is, at least the original premise was, imagine somebody had never heard Eminem. Like, you have 15 songs to like explain Eminem. Like, I think you can start here and maybe skip a couple other records that you might otherwise be tempted to do, because like so much of that early sound that's not the Dre sound is right here. Do you know what I mean? And I wanted something to represent that. Because by the second album, still working with the Bass Brothers, but now he's starting to get involved with production and the sound starts to shift a little bit.
Yeah.
But there is a sort of Bass Brothers Eminem sound from 99 that is that the Slim Shady LP is all about. And, you know, I think Just Don't Give a F really, really fulfills that.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I still knew almost every word of the song 20 years later.
I mean, you know what happens. I think I have a similar song. It's not really a song, but I wanted to best encapsulate what M is known for, which is like freestyling. And so I actually put one of his freestyles on the list. Mm. And the reason why I put it on there is because it was the freestyle that like got me into Eminem. So this is a period where, you know, we were trading Sway and Tech wake up freestyles. They used to actually like put them out as mixtapes. And so I had volume 4, volume 5. And then even then we found like websites would have like low quality rips of him freestyling on other radio stations. So he did a freestyle over Dead. Was it over? No, it wasn't over Dead Wrong. What was it over? I don't know when it was over. It was over something. But it's called Greg. And I put that on my list.
Really?
It starts off with met a retarded kid named Greg with a wooden leg. And he just like, it's vintage Eminem. Every word rhymes. The flow is all over the place.
Right.
But in 1997, this sounds amazing. This is unlike anything I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So to me, I had to have something that represented that era of M.
Yeah. And I mean, that's interesting. I think hearing this, it was really obvious like how much the world has changed.
Yeah.
In the almost 20 years, how much like what people are okay with tolerating has changed.
Yeah.
Like this, can you imagine if the Slim Shady LP came out today?
Oh my God. It wouldn't make it. He'd be a meme.
Yeah. I mean, and there were, you know, people, you know, there were a lot of people who protested. I remember it, you know, people were, you know, like, I think like Walmart refused to carry his album at some point or whatever. Like there was all sorts of stuff with him. And at the time, I was always just like, oh, you know, they're infringing on his free speech. Cause you know, I was that guy.
Yeah.
But no, that's interesting. You started with a freestyle. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Second song on my list. It's got to be My Name Is.
100%.
So if Just Don't Give a F sort of encapsulates that, that Bass Brothers early M sound, My Name is kind of like a really, I mean, I don't know. It's a kind of a fascinating track. You know, it's a fairly like not unknown, sample that the bass line, is built off of. You know, it's, you get a bit of like, okay. Cause at this time too, this was before 2001 came out. So like the last that people had heard from Dre was Phone Tap, right? Yeah. And so all of a sudden it's like, like what's going on here? But I mean, this song, the blueprint was so successful that he had to do zany songs as first singles for the next couple albums.
Yep. Couple.
Forever. I think was Not Afraid the first, not, you said zany.
Zany. He's like an animaniac.
He really is. Yakko.
United States, Canada, that's Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica. He's really, Eminem could really be rapping that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's one, yeah.
That's 100%. Yeah, that's on my list as well. I don't have anything.
Why was it on the, I was going to say, why was it on the list for you?
Yeah, just definitive. That record was everywhere in 1998. He was on TRL. You know they brought back TRL?
Man, TRL.
Yeah. So anyway, he was everywhere out the gate. And yeah. I think at this point though, I think hip hop wasn't sure of what to do with him.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I think we kind of embraced him because of the Dre cosign. This is, you know, Dre cosigns, I mean, still to this day, they mean something.
Well, I mean, also like he pops up on Sound Bombing.
I almost put Any Man on my list. I really, really wanted to.
I wasn't going to put Any Man on my list. Any Man is fine, but it's not, it's not even one of Eminem's best. I don't know. Not even close to me.
That was the song that made me say, oh, okay, this guy's dope. But yeah, I couldn't put it on my list.
Okay. So I've got to, so even though you had My Name Is also on your list, what's next up for you?
I guess we'll just go down the list because mine is in chronological order.
Perfect. For the most part. So next up is you. What do you got?
Guilty Conscience.
Yeah, same here.
Guilty Conscience.
This was interesting to listen to.
This is a song where the video helps it out. Hearing it by itself, it sounds like wacky.
It is a little zany.
Yeah, it's a little zany, but
not
White Timberland's Lil Zane. But the video helps this out a whole lot. Storytelling M in the grand scheme of things is kind of underrated as a storyteller.
Yeah, I don't dispute that at all. I mean, for me, like, again, the content of like what he is rapping about in this song is kind of crazy. Like, this was a single.
That was a single. And it was a successful single.
Very successful. Mm-hmm. And he had Dre rapping. Not like rap. I'm not saying like, but it was like, it was also like, oh, wait. So My Name Is, okay, a Dre beat. But like, and you hear a little bit more of like what we would come to know as the late 90s, early 2000s Dre sound on Guilty Conscience, right? Yeah. Still kind of zany, but, you know, pianos, bass, like, you know, definitely much more in the Dre sort of sound. But no, the video for Guilty Conscience, right? Just that, and actually is another video for a song that we'll get to in a bit. Like M's videos were memorable.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about Guilty Conscience? You haven't really talked much about his rapping.
No, I mean, because we haven't gotten to any like rapping, not the records that I want to nerd out about.
Okay. So
I'm not a big fan of early M.
Okay. Like, can we talk about a record that you better nerd out about?
What?
Dead Wrong.
That was okay. No, I mean, it's dope. Now the record's dope. It's dope. It's dope. It's dope. It's dope. It's dope. It's dope.
One of my, is this the best? It's one of it's. It might be my favorite Eminem guest appearance. And I know there's another one. We'll talk about it later. But I love Dead Wrong.
Yeah.
I know he's talking about absolutely nothing. I get at that. All. I love, it's so small. I love how even Puff had to get in and do a ooh ad lib in the background on it. No, Dead Wrong. It's just, it's the entire, like, I have Dead Wrong on this list because Big's verse is good. His verses are fine. And murders him on this.
Yeah, but this, that doesn't count.
I know it doesn't count. I know it doesn't count. But the entire, like, I think there's almost like, so there's, if that out of that early M phase, like to me, Dead Wrong is like M at the, that super early phase before he, before it's, you know, before, cause I guess this is the same era as like 2001, but Dead Wrong feels, maybe it's cause Big's versus vocals are old too. It feels a little older, but Dead Wrong is just, man, like that is one of like, to me, that's one of like him almost at the peak of his technical abilities. He's ridiculous on this song.
Yeah, he definitely nitpicks.
He's not saying anything, but that's okay. Like, I'm not listening. And maybe this is my problem back to the BET freestyle. Like, I can't tell you. I really, and I mean, it's funny, right? Because he tried it with Mosh. Remember Mosh?
Of course.
Like, I didn't really sit down and listen to Eminem records because, like, I was looking for some, like, righteous music, you know? I'm listening to Eminem because I want to hear something technically that's going to like make my jaw drop.
Yeah.
And Dead Wrong, it was funny. I was listening to it last night while I was doing dishes after dinner. And I don't think Marissa had really, I mean, I'm sure she'd heard it before, but like, she's not really familiar with it. And she just from the other room, she just called out. She's like, I don't like that one. And I'm like, but I was like trying to listen to it with ears from somebody who didn't listen to it over and over again in 1999, because maybe I happened to have bought the Born Again album, which had maybe three good songs on it. And so when that happened in the late 90s, you listened over and over to the songs that were good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what? I listened to that. I actually listened to the Cash Money record.
Yep.
And then maybe Come On.
Hold on. I'm pulling up. Nah, Rap Phenomenon was dope. I'm sure you didn't.
I nitpicked it. It's not an A grade Primo beat.
Nah, that Primo beat is dope.
Rap Phenomenon is fine.
I liked If I Should Die.
That beat's kind of, yeah, I know that beat is not aged well, but okay.
And that's about it.
Right. That was a pretty disappointing album.
Biggie, even though he's not on the song.
Right. I wish I could have heard Biggie on that beat. If they really tried with If I Should Die Before I Wake, but no.
They tried, but like Ice Cube is on it.
I know.
And there's nothing wrong with Ice Cube. Ice Cube's one of the greatest MCs ever, but it was just random. Like, why is Ice Cube on this record?
Honestly, though, for me, I mean, I listened to Dead Wrong quite a bit on this, but also, I mean, I think was this the first time I had a CD quality version of Who Shot Ya? Me personally, maybe.
Oh, trying to think of if it was out before then.
I mean, like you could, yeah, sure, but there was like, I'm trying to remember when they. Because like my version of Ready to Die wasn't the like extended version that they included Who Shot Ya and Dreams.
Yeah.
So that probably was, I mean, I had heard it before, but like I was like, oh. So anyway. All right. I'm foreign. What's your next one?
Even though he got washed on this record, this Ooh. Is still definitive to me.
What do you got?
Scary Movies.
I thought about putting that on there.
Scary Movies. Bad Meets Evil. I definitely wasn't putting Lighters or anything else from that album on there that I still to this day have not heard and won't ever hear.
I thought about putting the actual Bad Meets Evil song, but no.
No. Scary Movies is a better song. That beat is crazy. Shout out to Grand Theft Auto 3.
Right.
Prime Royce the 5'9", like 2000 Royce is one of the greatest MCs ever. And for me to say M got washed, like anybody would have got washed by Royce in that era. Just unreal. But I remember that was back in the early, like collecting MP3 days and getting VLSs and getting that VLS, getting that instrumental. And that might've been the first beat that I was intimidated to write to, just because they killed it so much. But Bad Meets Evil is one of those things where history doesn't treat them kind, but had things would have worked out the way that they could have, that they would have been one of the greatest duos ever.
Basically, if Royce's manager doesn't doesn't
stop.
If he doesn't let it out that he that Royce was writing on 2001, it's just a whole different world.
Dang it, Royce.
It's quite a what if.
Yeah, one. Yeah, Royce is Royce, Mos Def, Lupe. Those are my three biggest what ifs.
Mm.
Anyway, but yeah, scary movie was 100%.
Okay. Next up for me, I had to put it on there. Is Forgot About Dre.
100% on my list as well. Had to.
It's sort of, is 2001 an underrated album? I asked that because
explain that. That's interesting.
That album to this day sounds incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But do you ever hear it mentioned as like an incredible album?
Yeah, I think you do, but I don't think people are like, yo, that 2001 was crazy. So
Forgot About, I mean, there's actually, and the next song I have on here is also from 2001. Forgot About Dre. Man.
I want to play a record.
Go ahead.
Is this on your list?
That's the next song on my list. Let's just talk about them together.
Listen. I remember where I was the first time I heard that beat.
Mm.
I lost my mind the first time I heard that record. What's the difference is 100% on my list.
The whole opening run of 2001.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. Like, okay, let's run this down.
Okay.
So you go The Watcher.
Yep.
F.U. Still D.R.E.
Yep.
Biggie Goes was all right.
I love Biggie Goes.
Explosive. What's the difference? I don't even remember what bar one. Is that a skit?
It's bar bar, it totally ruins the...
That's the end of the run?
Well, to me, Lightspeed I don't like.
Yeah, Lightspeed is in, then Forgot About Dre, then the next episode, Let's Get High is dope. And then to me, this is where everything just falls off the cliff.
Yeah, I like the beat on Murder, Inc.
Yeah, the beat on Murder, Inc. is dope.
Bang Bang is ridiculous.
Nah.
I like Bang Bang.
I like the beat on The Message, but...
I don't like The Message.
Yeah, I like the beat. But other than that, yeah, like the second half of this album just...
Yeah, it falls off, but...
The first half of this album is incredible.
It's absolutely incredible. And that first run is just like...
Phew. Rolling with Lorenzo and the Benzo. I was playing with the gang of instrumentals. Hey, got the pen. Yeah. Steel. Oh, boy.
So, Forgot About Dre. We'll start there and then we'll go to What's the Difference. Forgot About Dre is just like... I mean, M is just absolute like... peak of his powers. He's doing whatever he wants. He's doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, this is peak Hot Sauce and One Mixtape Volume 3.
Right.
Like, just insane.
Right. Just
toying with the beat.
Yeah. All the, you know, he's talking about himself and crazy and everything, but it's so good it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then What's the Difference? You know, Dre is good on it. Exhibit does a good job.
Yeah.
But then it's like clear out the way.
Yeah. Because
here comes Eminem.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
M really... So like I said earlier, I think the Bass Brothers stuff is underrated. M really got to rap on a lot of good beats.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rap... Like, it's funny. A lot of the rappers that you mentioned on that list, some of them have struggled with production over the years.
100%.
Right? It is not uncommon sometimes for rappity rappers to struggle with getting the right production.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we could talk about M's production once we get later into this list.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What's the difference? My God.
Yeah. Great record. Crazy beat. Song is just, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yep.